Welcome to the Shift Happens podcast, where we explore the latest trends and insights in the digital workplace. From the role of AI in the workplace to the future of remote work, we cover it all. Tune in as we chat with industry leaders and experts. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just getting started in the digital landscape, we've got you covered. Subscribe to Shift Happens wherever you listen to podcasts and stay ahead of the curve.
Shift Happens podcast.
In this episode, we'll learn how King County, Washington is making basic services simpler and safer by going digital. I'll speak with Tanya Hanna, the county's chief information officer, who's led many big shifts during the COVID-19 pandemic. Together, we'll explore how familiar tools such as chatbots and Microsoft Teams have successfully enabled remote work for 15,000 employees to make sure the county's critical needs are met. We'll also take a look at the ways virtual and augmented reality are supporting important municipal tasks such as building inspections. I know I'm always looking to innovate my workplace. Let's find out how Tanya and her team are doing it.
Shift Happens Podcast. Shift Happens Podcast.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Shift Happens Podcast. I'm your host, Doug Raymond Tsai, Chief Brand Officer of AvePoint, Microsoft Regional Director and MVP as well. I'm so excited today. I'm joined by a leading innovator in government technology, Tanya Hanna, the CIO of King County in Washington. Tanya, thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thanks, Doug. I am so excited to chat with you today.
I've known you for a while now. You're one of the trendsetters, I would say, in a good way, around maximizing technology for government. But before we jump into talking about your work today, can you share a bit some of your background, your previous work that you've done, and the trajectory you have towards working in government?
My background is actually private sector. I'm from the East Coast, Philadelphia. And I actually came up through the ranks, worked the help desk, did infrastructure management, went into service delivery, application delivery, software engineering. And my career has kind of went through a number of critical areas, particularly that's helpful now as CIO in understanding all facets of the business. This is my first government technology role, so it's been an interesting ride, to say the least.
So growing up, what got you interested in technology and pursue a career in technology?
You know what? So back in Philadelphia, it was kind of, you know, three things. One, I had an amazing teacher that kind of inspired science and technology. She was very much interested in it. And I also did a summer program at the University of Pennsylvania, and it was a STEM program, and it was to introduce persons of color to careers in technology. And I just had a great time, went to college, and the rest is history.
Wow, that's an amazing story, Tanya. Now, being an African-American female, as you embarked on this tech career journey, did you encounter any challenges, and how did you overcome it?
That's an interesting question, because today there are so many avenues to a career in technology, whether you're a social media influencer or you're in banking, hospitality, manufacturing. Tech is literally everywhere. For me, being a woman and a person of color, most of my teens, I was the only person, whether it be a female and a person of color. Rarely was I ever on a team that had another woman. And what I found, though, is the folks that helped me in my career were some of the males, because they loved having a different perspective. Always brought a customer focus, and that helped to balance teams that were purely focused on just delivering technology. And I could provide a different insight, not only about the data, but really the insights into what does it mean to build a better product, or what does it mean to offer services in new ways, right? People are all different. And so having different perspectives actually brings more vitality and more growth to teams. One of the things that I think is going to be interesting is how we look at Gen Z and the fact that they're utilizing Microsoft Teams, Zoom, you know, Google Hangouts to do their online learning, and they are incorporating more and more tech. And just think about that talent pipeline that will exist for public and private sector. And what is that going to, you know, look like? I think it's fascinating.
Absolutely. I mean, even if I do miss, and I'm sure they miss seeing their friends and teachers during this time, but you're right, they're equipping themselves now. So now they're using calendars. They jump on online meetings. It's like, oh, it's no different than me. So they're now ready for that.
Oh, absolutely.
So you're the CIO of King County, Washington, which if people don't know, that includes Seattle. So not only do you have a very large constituency, but you also have companies like Amazon, Microsoft, Nintendo in your backyard. Does that make things easier for you and make it harder because expectations are higher?
You know, King County is the headquarters for 10 of some of the most recognizable brands in the world. You name them. There's Starbucks, Nordstrom's is here.
Boeing's there, right?
Well, Boeing's not headquartered here, but it certainly does have a huge Washington State presence. And when you think about tech, the thing that strikes me the most about the companies that are headquartered here is the fact that they are known for customer service. They are known for understanding customers, what drives them, how do you engage with your customer, how do you build a long-term relationship? And I think that model is certainly something that all companies or organizations should really study as a use case. Being here within King County, the bar is set really high. And it is always imperative that we continue to raise the bar with innovation, with how do you service your customers? How do you create that frictionless experience so that it is easy to do business with government? We don't make it this huge burden. And that's where technology is good, because it enables us to do things. Pandemic hits, government cannot shut down. We just keep on going and technology enables it. And it's been a fascinating experience.
Wow. I mean, you talk about setting the standards and bar high because you're in King County and you've been, you know, the county has been recognized one of the best counties in the entire country as it relates to government technology. Do you think that's because, again, you have a lot of wonderful private companies out there that's very customer centric, or is it just the nature of the change we're in right now as a society where, look, even government, who's notoriously known for being behind or being slow, has to have that mindset as well, being customer centric, being constituent focused?
You know, I think being here in this region, I would put my team, King County Information Technology, above most public private sector companies in the world. They are totally amazing. You know, people think government doesn't address their needs, but I can tell you, we use augmented and virtual reality. We use AI, machine learning, digital assistants. We're doing all of it and we're doing it well. Where I think, you know, coming from the private sector into public sector, I've had to adjust is speed. It takes us a little bit longer to do things, but we certainly get it done. I've heard people say, oh, well, you can't find DevOps within government. Yes, you can. You know, we do CI/CD. Yes. And I think because we have over 2.2 million residents here that we serve, it is imperative for us to really think about technology and how do we utilize it to enable our operations. I mean, I support 64 lines of business, whether it's public health and the pandemic, transportation and buses, you know, out on the road, the water taxi. It's all driven by technology. And so we are continually thinking about the ways that we can improve technology in government. Yes, we are slower than you might find in the private sector. But we've been able to keep our funding steady to help us be able to innovate and deliver new products and services out to the public. And as we're retiring some of our legacy systems, it will get easier and easier for us to deliver faster and faster.
Hello, Shift Happens podcast listeners. I have an exciting offer for you. Join us for our in-person Shift Happens conference, October 10 to 11 in Washington, D.C. Registration is free. That's right, it's free. And you'll walk away with actionable strategies from industry leaders and peers to make Shift happen in your digital workplace. Visit shifthappens.to to register today. We'll see you there.
I mean, you talk about innovation. I recall King County winning an award for its use of HoloLens and virtual reality.
Yes.
For the wastewater operators, right? And how they're trained.
Yes.
That's a really cool technology not even private companies are using. So for things like that, right? Even forward-thinking technology, how do you determine which one to take on, which one to try? Because obviously you only have so much resources and time, and you know, investing on these things can sometimes may not be as fruitful as you'd like.
So that's where I would disagree with you. And the reason I say that, it depends on why you're utilizing technology. I don't believe in utilizing technology for technology's sake. It is about what problems are we trying to solve for. So for example, you brought up our use of augmented and virtual reality and HoloLens. That has been a great success story in helping us train our workforce on newer technology, et cetera. But think about a more practical application. When the pandemic hit, we actually had a practical application with virtual inspections. You know, there's restaurants to be inspected, homes, commercial buildings, and having augmented and virtual reality, just plain video, FaceTime, Zoom, Microsoft Teams, you know, whatever, allows you to continue to perform those services. And that is super critical. So I think it's we have to change the way we think about technology. It is so integrated into our lives. It permeates everything we do. You see, everyone has a mobile phone. They've got a tablet that we take it for granted. But when you take a step back and look at all of the work you're performing, there's probably technology that could help you perform those same tasks easier, more efficiently, better, and more importantly, offer your customer a better experience, right? As a business or, you know, a person at home, it's a pandemic. You don't want people parading through your home. So how could we leverage technology to continue to deliver services? And that's what it really is about. It's about how do you serve your customer better?
I mean, I love when you said earlier where it's not about technology. At the end of the day, it's about people, right?
Absolutely.
We use technology to serve people. And it's great that we have these technologies today that we can't imagine if the cloud did not exist. I mean, where will we be right now?
Everything's closed.
I know. We'll still be sending snail mails or Pony Express or something.
Yes.
I mean, even for us, we're no exception, right? As a software company, when the pandemic hit, we had to accelerate collaboration and remote work. For you, what did you see as the things that you had no choice but to accelerate? And perhaps, you know, I'm not going to worry about the mess it may create. I just have to step it up because I need to serve my constituency. I need to serve my team. What are some of those things that you all had to do, especially when March and April hit?
Initially with the pandemic, some of the things that we were seeing is the public, the media, other jurisdictions were looking to King County as ground zero for information. And so standing up the website, our data, people were very interested in our public dashboards on what was happening at long-term care facilities. How were you tracking where outbreaks were occurring? What was the death rates by zip codes, by ethnicity, et cetera. And that was something we externally facing we needed to do. Things like internally, we were standing up sites, kind of field hospitals, if you will, to handle quarantine and assessment for COVID. And, you know, we were building bed availability, chatbots to serve the public. And those were things that just naturally occurred because you're in the moment and you've got to deliver. And we were rolling out solutions, transitioning employees to telework. And we just did it kind of seamlessly. Because the thought was, what do we need to do to help our customer? Things that I think will have a longer term impact on government, particularly, is what will this digital transformation really look like? I know we were talking months ago before the pandemic, the future of work. Well, the future of work is here. And it's more than just, you know, video calls. It is about how do you get off of paper? Government loves reams and reams of paper. Right. How do you reimagine your services in new ways? Because people are changed. For example, our courts, we were preparing even before the pandemic to do more virtual courts, putting in video conferencing and things like that ahead of the pandemic, had nothing to do with it. But now in the pandemic, we're utilizing Microsoft Teams to share evidence, like amongst people. We're on video between Teams and Zoom. We are just doing things that even I probably wouldn't have imagined 8 months ago. Ahead of COVID, we're working on scheduling people so that, and which is a big deal, right? People get parking tickets or traffic tickets. They take time off to come downtown into a government office. People don't want to do that. And so we are moving all of that online and to be delivered virtually. How much better of an experience will that be? Not only for people that can afford to take off, like they're teleworkers like myself, but others who, you know, are our first responders. who are, you know, helping us at the hospitals, at the grocery store. Now we can offer services in other places besides the downtown location. We can make it more convenient, leveraging technology with video. I think it's going to be fascinating. And I'd venture to guess that government is probably going to be more innovative than private sector, because it will have to be.
I mean, I love what you said, right? Where digital transformation, it's not just videos, it's not just chat, but really, you know, reducing paper for sure, but improving processes, right? Like, for example, you alluded to this, but I believe you all won an award also for the mobile app for citizens that you rolled out, your citizen service app, where if I think about it, right, in my personal life, I'm just used to that kind of app. If I order something on Amazon, I can track my shipping, then I can see when it's delivered. At the same time, for something like that, citizen services, like if I'm filing for a permit or I take a picture of a graffiti, I would want to know if somebody's taking action on it or when it was acted upon. And all those aren't rocket science, because we do have the tech, right? Oftentimes we're just facing bureaucracy or people just, oh, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But then I hate to say it, but the pandemic now became a catalyst to leverage as much technology as we can. And as you describe, I agree with you. Potentially the government could be, you know, leading in innovative ways. Because I think about, like, you know, like the moon landing, for example. NASA, because of that, they had to do it.
Yes.
They created a bunch of new technologies as a result of that. And to me, that's the exciting part.
And now we have SpaceX, right?
Yes, yes.
You know, the state CIO, Jim Weaver, the Washington state CIO, he says COVID is the chief innovation officer. And I so readily agree. You know, government won't have the opportunity to go back pre-pandemic. Here at King County, we're thinking about, and this is actually a part of our strategic information technology plan. And I think back to when I was telling people about it early 2019, and everyone's like, okay, what is she on? Where it's really about thinking about government like a marketplace, particularly in the retail sense, because I believe government is very similar to retail. Individual comes into you for services, information, and it's your job to provide it, whatever that service is. And so we were talking about a government marketplace that allows you to really think about automation. Right. And it's and automation isn't a point to point solution. You really are thinking end to end. Like, how do I take out all of the friction points in every step of the way to make it extremely seamless, where I can just find what I need or perform a task and not do things like convoluted. You think about electronic signature, it's like, well, technology is there. You can just incorporate it right into everything where you need a signature, right? And make it seamless, make it automated. Think about how your customer would experience it, whether they're in person, online, finding you via the web. How are you going to help them get what they need in such a way that it's delivered seamless, that it's efficient, that you think about equity? And you really do it in such a way that when the individual or the business has completed their engagement with you, that they want to come back, you know, that they want to come back and not say, wow, I just stood in line for 10 hours to get my license. You know, took my whole day, right? You know,
that's right. At the DMV, right?
Yes. So I think that's where we're going to see government innovation flourish.
As you were describing that, I can't help but think this is now your service delivery background coming into play. You know, I think all the words you describe reminded me of the ITIL service delivery model. but what you said is exactly to the point where these days it's not about solutions anymore. It's about providing that experience to the persona that's engaging with us, because it's not a one size fits all. It's not a one channel fits all. And it's not easy for sure, but we always have to think from the perspective of who are we serving? Where are they? And really meeting people at where they're at.
Where they're at. I say that all the time. You have to meet people where they're at. But, you know, Docs, you bring up an interesting point around omni-channel, right? We talk about omni-channel like it's a handful of channels. It's actually many engagement points, because if you're doing IoT stuff with beacons and whatnot, that's a channel, just as it would be if I'm in person, on a phone, via email, text messaging, a digital assistant, the web, and or social media, like,
or somebody reporting a pothole on the Waze, right?
Yeah.
So you have all these signals coming in. So now the question is, okay, how do you make the most out of it? There's no way as human beings we can crunch all those data and make all the correlations. But this is, again, where machine learning comes in, AI comes in, and you build your data warehouse and start providing some level of insights as well to understand all this on how you can be more proactive. Now that you know, hey, wait a second, how come the light bulb on this street corner goes off after 3 months? Something will alert you, that light bulb will go off, go change it, or even better, maybe we go find a different vendor, right?
Absolutely, but that's where the government marketplace concept comes in our strategic plan, because it really is thinking about not only our omni-channel engagement points, but also how do you leverage technology and data? Of course, keeping it secure, protecting sensitive information, right? But you kind of have it as your brain, right? And your back end systems that people forget about, because we always do point to point solutions. We fix the front end. I'm like, but if your back end is crappy, like, you're not going to get a seamless, frictionless experience. And you, that's where you really got to start thinking end to end. How do my customers reach me? How can I think about technology and utilize AI, ML, revamp my business processes? How do I incorporate video? How do I think about augmented and virtual reality and helping? And, you know, the back end is there. Absolutely. Yes, there may be old systems and yes, there may be new systems. But when you're thinking end to end, you can begin to unlock like the insights that you can get about your customer, about their experience. Like you said, hey, you know what? That light bulb needs to be changed. You can present things in new ways. It's going to be absolutely fabulous or fascinating.
No, it is exciting. Now, one thing you did talk about, which I want to zero in for a bit, is you talk about the importance of making sure while all these technologies good, it's still secure and compliant, right? Because these days we see data breaches almost every day now, and which is not going to get any better, unfortunately. So, for specific to your organization, I know you mentioned Microsoft Teams, for example. So what's been the strategy for staying compliant and productive on a platform like Teams or related technologies that you all use? Are you constantly, or do you have a team that's constantly fine-tuning, ensuring data, especially, you know, important data or controlled workloads don't get compromised?
Yeah, so we do have dedicated security professionals handling security. We certainly utilize technology. Let me tell you, there's vendors everywhere to help, you know, got to manage your vulnerabilities. You got to think about how to, as best you can, prevent unauthorized access to your data and your systems. The threat vectors are constantly evolving, and you can, you know, just do the best that you can. But, you know, on the collaboration side and providing tools to the employees we support, the 15,000 that we support, you know, Teams certainly provides an experience where you can create your channels, right? And look at your files, you know, look at chat conversations, schedule your meetings and things like that. And the Microsoft O365 suite, I mean, you know, you're getting your Office suite, you're getting OneNote, OneDrive. It's all in the cloud, so you don't need those file shares. which allows you to have a mobile workforce. You know, it's collaboration tools are going to continue to grow. I think the biggest challenge, though, is we can always get technology overload, right? Because there's just so much change coming at us. So it's going to be interesting how we navigate that little fine line. Like, there's going to be this rebalancing of our work-life balance, and whether or not, I don't think anyone's ever going to be at any company all in 5 days a week on that particular work schedule.
I mean, I can go on and on and continue this conversation. But before we wrap up, now that you're a public servant, what advice would you give to your fellow public servants or new to public service to make shift happen and, you know, make a positive impact in the role that you're in?
Ducks, it's go big or go home. Government has, there's no lack of opportunities is what I call them, to do things better than you could have ever done it before, to really see innovation and how it can help the communities we serve or the employees that we support. You've got to think big. For me, it's about what's next. When I look at my team, I'm like, we power King County, and any other public sector IT is out there powering their cities, their counties, their state. So what are we going to do with such an integral part of people's lives? How are we going to utilize our platform to make things happen, to make shift happen?
There you go. So it's King County as a platform, right? King County as a
yes. Yes.
Awesome. Well, Tanya, thank you. Thank you so much for being a wonderful guest today. I'm sure everybody's learned so much from you.
Ducks, thanks for having me. This was totally so much fun. I can't wait to hang out with you.
Yeah, we could talk all day long. For everybody else, again, I'd like to thank you for tuning in for another episode of Shift Happens Podcast. If you've enjoyed this conversation, make sure you subscribe and tell your friends and family about it. So until the next time, make sure you wear your mask, wash your hands, and take care.
Shift Happens Podcast.
Thanks for listening. Although most of us don't look forward to paying a utility bill or submitting a service request, it's great to know that King County is keeping user experience and safety in mind, especially during the pandemic. The forward-thinking approach of Tanya's team could benefit any business exploring digital transformation. Ask yourself, what tools do your customers and employees already use, and how could they meet your existing needs? What services, even small ones, might be automated or taken online to make everyone's lives a little easier? And how are you preparing today for the digital demands and trends of the future? Whether you're a small county or a large corporation, be sure to keep those thoughts top of mind in the months ahead.
Shift Happens Podcast. Shift Happens Podcast.
Shift Happens Podcast is a production of AvePoint, Inc., produced and edited by the AvePoint brand team. Stay up to date on the latest trends in digital workplace transformation by visiting avpoint.com.